During the month of October, we talked together about how we give because. And now as we move into November and we consider the challenge that is before us with this ambitious goal of $12 million to position ourselves for the good future that we believe God has for our church to know, it's important for us to consider how, in order to be faithful to that goal, we must pray for the grace to be able to give beyond, our normal gifts. And so this morning, we think about why we give beyond in order to do something that will make an impact beyond this generation. As you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Judges. Judges, the second chapter, beginning with the 10th verse, the Word of God as it comes to us in promise. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up. A generation who knew neither the Lord nor what the Lord had done for Israel. And so then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him, and they served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And in his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. So that whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as God had sworn to them, and they were in great distress. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. One of the things that I think most of us struggle with is wrapping our minds around what we think the future is going to look like. I know I do. I struggle with trying to think ahead 5 years, 10 years, 20 or more years. What makes it difficult for me, and I would think what makes contemplating the future difficult for others, is because of how that sort of exercise drains us. It takes a lot of emotional energy to reflect not just on the impact of what is already taking place, but to ponder the possibilities of what may be before us. It is much, much easier. Much, much easier to settle back and to be content with the present and to accept things as they are and to become comfortable with the status quo. But as we all know, because of how we have experienced it, there have been those times when the future has dawned. And we, in our complacency, have not been ready to receive it. And that is why it is a good thing. It is a good thing for individuals from time to time to use the present moment to think a bit beyond, to think beyond what is now, so that so that we might be able to gear up for the future, so that we might be able in the present to begin making commitments that will ensure that whatever is before us is all that we would like it to be. And that is why every individual, as well as every business and every enterprise and every corporation and every civic club and every congregation would do well from time to time to ponder what is beyond. It's certainly why in the scripture you see so many passages that are intended to encourage God's people to spend the energy that is necessary to think about tomorrow, and especially to think about how we pass on to those who will come behind us the faith that has meant so much to us. Like this passage that is before us this morning from the book of Judges. The book of Judges is the story of how God's people, the children of Israel, began to take possession of the good future that God had given their forebears. They had made it into Canaan, and now the land flowing with milk and honey was before them, and it was important for them to secure the land that God had given to them. But as you read the book of Judges, there is a vicious cycle, a cycle that recurs throughout the book. God's people experience a season of prosperity, the favor of God. And having attained God's favor and the prosperity, the abundance that God has made possible, the people become complacent. And in their complacency, they are not as quick to turn to God, which brings them to places where God challenges them to remember Him. They experience adversity that has come about because of their rejection of God. They then, in turn, cry out to God for deliverance, and God raises up a judge, a spiritual leader at times, a religious leader at other times, someone who will bring the people back into a relationship with God so that God in turn can elevate them to a place of prosperity and abundance, and it is not happily ever after. The cycle begins again, on and on and on. In the passage that is before us this morning, Joshua, the successor to Moses, the one whom God had raised up to lead the people into Canaan, the land of promise, Joshua has died. And a whole generation that experienced God's deliverance, they died as well. And now the text tells us, imagine this, imagine this. Wrap your mind around this truth. Another generation has come about, a generation that knows neither the Lord nor what God had done for the people of Israel. Fathom that thought. They knew nothing about the Exodus. They knew nothing about the crossing of the Jordan. They had no knowledge of when Joshua led the people to march around the walls of Jericho. And as we learned how to sing as children, God did a remarkable thing, something only God can do. And the walls came tumbling down. They had no knowledge of any of these marvelous acts. And because of that, they have come to a place where they have grown spiritually complacent. It appears to them as if the mission has been accomplished. There's nothing left for them to do. They are not as zealous for God as were those who had gone before them. They provoke the Lord to anger, and they end up in a place where, even as God's covenant people, they are in great distress. There is a temptation that falls to every generation. The temptation to believe that those who have gone before us have set the table. Those who have gone before us have done everything that God had called them to do. Those who have gone before us have shown great faithfulness to the degree, to the point, to the extent that there's really nothing left for us to be about. When the fact of the matter is, there is always land to be conquered. There are always divine purposes to be brought to pass. There is always something that God gives His people to do. Otherwise, we become complacent in the land, and we tell ourselves that it's all behind us and there's nothing left for us to know. I think it's important for us on this day of remembrance to understand how, when we ponder the past, God never calls us to do so from the standpoint of the past, as glorious as the past may have been. God never intends for us to consider the past as a diving board for us to plunge down from. God instead deems the past to be a foundation upon which we build, to do something as faithful, to do something as remarkable, to do something as glorious for the cause of Jesus Christ as those who came before us did. On this day of remembrance, we reflect upon the faithfulness of those who have gone before us. And we pray for God's mercy to be able to do something to build upon their strong and faithful witness, to make sure that for the generations who will come behind us, they will know God even more than we know God. And they will help others to know God to such an extent that they, even more than we, will live for Him with grace and generosity. In a nutshell, that's what I pray will happen as a result of this Beyond campaign. I know you're here this morning. Some of you are a little weary of the pastor talking about money. Let me tell you something. The pastor is weary of talking about money. But what the pastor will never become weary of is calling people to a greater commitment and to seize today upon the glorious future that God has for our church to know as we seek to build upon the witness of those who have gone before us to do something that will ensure that people in future generations will know the Lord and the great things that God has done in our midst. This Beyond campaign, to me, this is not about raising money. Hear me carefully. That's why we're inviting you to come back this afternoon and to pray that God will move in our midst in a way that only God can do. And that in the coming days, you'll take this prayer guide and every day you'll look at the verse and the devotion and you'll pray for God to do something that only God could make happen. This campaign is not about raising money. It's about raising commitment. Did you hear me? It's about raising commitment. It's about raising a people who will extend the faithfulness of those who have gone before us in this great Mountain Brook Baptist Church and will enable us to seize the land that God has given us here in the Mountain Brook community and to claim it for Jesus Christ in such a way that generations we cannot conceptualize will come into this church after you and I are long gone, and they will sing their hallelujahs to God because of how just being in this place, they sense the presence of the divine. Some years ago, I was invited to speak at a conference in Philadelphia. It was a conference of tax collectors. I kid you not. It's a long story. But I went up to Philadelphia to speak to that conference, and I'd never been to Philadelphia. I'd never been to that part of Pennsylvania. It was an opportunity for me not just to tour the city of Philadelphia, but as many of you have done, to go down into the Amish country. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. It's like going back in time. You know, all of the technology that we just accept today as essential, none of it. And to be able to spend some time in conversation with some of those people, I came across an old Amish saying that has stuck with me ever since that day. A saying which goes, "We did not inherit this land from our fathers. We are instead borrowing it from our children." Let that sink in. We did not inherit this land from our fathers. We are instead borrowing it from our children. Little wonder that in a culture that is changing at warp speed, who knows what the future holds? That same prevailing culture so often stands in awe of the Amish community who believes that there are core principles and non-negotiable values and deeply held spiritual commitments that sustain them in the face of the swirling changes that are around them, and they pass down that culture and that heritage from one generation to the next, to the next. We did not inherit the land from our fathers. We are instead borrowing it from our children. The world stands in awe of a commitment like that. And my prayer is that one day, people in Mountain Brook, Alabama will stand in awe of the commitment of Mountain Brook Baptist Church to love God, to live with grace and generosity, that people will reflect on how God has been at work in our lives, so that whatever the future holds and whatever changes come, whatever realities that we cannot today in 2019 predict, certainly not wrap our minds around, there still will be that commitment to helping people know God in a personal way as God has revealed Himself to us ultimately and definitively in His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that people in Mountain Brook, in the generations to come, beyond this generation, will know God better than we know Him and be so in love with Him that they help others to know Him as well. Because God alone is each generation's help. God alone is each generation's hope. That's how it's always been. That's how it is today. And that is how it forever shall be. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for those who came before us, who were faithful to the leadership of Your Holy Spirit, so that we have been able to receive the abundance of what their faith produced. And now the time comes to us, God. How are we doing? How are we planning? What faithfulness are we passing on to those who will come behind us? Oh God, this is not anything we can do in our own power. The challenges that will come before us are beyond us. And if we were to attempt to do them by ourselves, we would be a people in great distress. But with You, oh God, all things are possible. And so we surrender ourselves to You in the same way as did Jesus surrender His life for us, that we may continue to show faithfulness until the day comes where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to Your glory. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.